We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
There's so many stories I'd like to tell based on some of those pictures. If you want an explanation on some of them, you'll have to come see me later. But we really did have a good time, and we're going to, in just a moment, we're going to have some of our students come up. We're going to have them come up in groups, and have our girls come up first, and then our guys, and I have some leaders that want to share some things this year as well. And I wanted to give you an update. Not everybody that is going to give a testimony tonight, you know, maybe had a part in this part or this aspect of camp, but you know, every year we go, obviously we're praying for souls to be saved, and this was a really unique year. We got to see three students come to Christ this week, and one of them, who I don't think is here tonight, his name is Devin, and Devin, we just got introduced to Devin about 2, maybe 3 weeks ago, and his mom came and said, "Hey, we heard that you guys are having a camp, you know, can he go?" And I said, "Yeah, there's room." Didn't really know him, and he was a young guy, and you saw him maybe in one of the pictures up there, but didn't really know what to think of Devin. Wasn't quite sure, you know, what's going on in his life. Don't really know anything about him, and started to wonder, you know, because every year there's usually one or two who I don't think they're going to make it. You know, camp is how many of you adults as a kid you went to camp? Raise your hand. Some people cannot handle it, and if I were to ask some of you adults to go to camp, you'd be like, no. It's an interesting thing, and I wondered, I don't know if Devin's going to make it. It took about 3, maybe I forget exactly what day in, he finally came forward one night, and the speaker asked, he said, if you're not saved and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want you to raise your hand. And he put both hands up. He was up. And he went immediately forward, talked with Brother Rob, and he accepted Christ. So that was really exciting to see. And we try to help our students see, you know, we don't always know who God's going to bring our way, and how important it is that we see that the picture of what God wants to do in people's lives. And we got to be a part of what God was doing in Devin's life through our church here, and going to camp and seeing him get saved. And there were two others that, if time permits, I'd like to share a little bit about them accepting Christ this week. So, without further ado, girls, if you'd make your way up the stage here, and we're going to have them share briefly, a testimony about what God did in their life this past week at camp. And I noticed we added an extra one, so how's this order working?
Same.
Same? Okay, you're lined up. Perfect. So first up is Miss Abby Turner.
The third year I've gone to a global camp. This year God showed me two specific things. More like he slapped me upside the head with them. But the first is that we always talk about God's will and what is God's will for my life. Where am I going to go to school? Who am I going to marry? And it's not all about what's so far in the future. God's will for me right now is that I be reading my Bible, that I serve in church, that I worship him as he deserves, and that I honor my parents. And those are the things that I should be focusing more on at this point in my life. Yeah. And the second thing that God showed me was every year we go to camp, it's kind of a recurring theme of what are the things that we can focus on working on in our youth group. And cliques and unity is always something that gets brought up. And it just became clear to me that going to camp and saying, oh, we're going to do better this year, is never going to solve the problem. The problem starts where I expect other people to change before I'm willing to do it myself. So that's something that God showed me. I have to be willing to do it myself before I expect change in the entire youth group. So that being said, I want to thank you guys that donated money and prayed for us, because it definitely, you can see the results. I mean, as PC said, 3 people got saved and there were lots of decisions that were made. So thank you, and keep praying for us as we see what God has for us as a youth group.
That last thing you said about the God's will and the youth group, more so about the unity, that I'm not going to have you come. You want to come speak in the youth group? Our teens need to hear that. No, I'm just kidding. That was phenomenal to grasp that truth. We do that as adults, don't we? We expect others to change first before we change, and we want everyone else to work it, and then we'll jump on. You know, we got to go first and we got to change. So thank you, Abby, for sharing that. Next is Mrs. April Matos. And, you know, Julius and his wife just recently, well, Julius had been working with the students for a while. And he had mentioned to me a time or two, he said, you know, would there be a chance for April to work? And I said, we'll see, we'll talk about it. And we kind of got down to the wire with camp, and I said, April, I have a question for you. I said, you know, would you be interested in going to camp? And she's like, what? And so there was a lot of, I'm sure, hesitation on her part about, you know, like I said, if going to camp is one thing, but being in charge of teenagers at camp is a totally different thing. And just like surviving camp in and of itself, but being responsible for students and trying to not only just make sure they don't kill each other and set things on fire, but trying to help minister to them as well. And I wasn't personally sure how she was going to do. We kind of threw her in and we said, well, you know, my wife will be there and we'll help you, that kind of thing. But I'm so excited that April came this year and excited to hear what she's going to share with us tonight about her experience at camp. April.
Actually, Christina fed me to the wolves twice. Just saying. Okay. I write everything on notes because I don't like being up here in front of you, everybody, so I lose my words. So here we go. As some of you may know, I just recently joined the youth group. Only being with the teens for about a week, I was asked to join them at camp. And yes, my words were, camp? Yeah, no. So I thought about it, discussed it with my husband, Julius. I was nervous, but said yes. I didn't really have any expectations since I have never been to camp before, ever. So once we were there, it was, I saw God working in so many different levels. You just really don't understand until you're actually there to see where he's actually working. The teens really started bonding. They were sharing secrets that I never would have suspected, and asking God to forgive them. It was such an eye-opener for me. It was simply amazing and awesome. Although I would not divulge any confidence of our teens, but I can give you an example of what... Yeah, I lost my words, so I'm going to find them again. I give you an example that shows how the depth of how our teens were actually impacted. I'm going to give you a little prayer. It says, Dear Lord, I've been sinning consistently lately, but I guess you already know that. Lying and gossiping every single day, and I know it's wrong, but it slips out before I can even consider the bad that will come from it. I will ask for forgiveness, but you and I both know I will just keep doing it. However, this time, I also ask for your help in stopping these things because the only way I will combat this is with your help. Be with me every day, and when I start to lie or gossip, please remind me of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Personally, I wasn't prepared for the brokenness nor aware of the need and desire of our teens to be open and honest and really with each other and their leaders. I want to thank you individually and the church as a whole for making this experience possible for our teens and our leaders. And I pray that you will continue to support our youth group. Also, I ask that as a church, if we could pray boldly, that is what's needed most. Thank you.
Thank you, April. I'm going to have Savannah come up, and then next after her is Corey. Savannah.
Hello. So this year at camp, I got to be a family leader. So you probably don't know what that is. Let me tell you. So the way that Global works is when you get to camp, they divide everybody up into teams. And this year, there were 12 teams. And then once you're in your team, they divide it up into families. And they're like three or four family leaders in each team. So I got to be a family leader, and basically I was responsible for the girls that were in my family. I led the devotions with them in the morning. When we broke up, I was responsible to help them learn their verses, make sure they were at roll call. So that was my first year being a family leader, but it opened up a whole new level to grow, because when you're a family leader, yeah, you still have to grow and you have to learn and mature for yourself, but you have to then go back and pour into the girls that are in your family. And it's not so much of a consumer mindset, but you have to be looking out for other people a lot too. So there were 6 in our youth group that got to be family leaders, and I know we all grew a lot from it. That's it.
Hi, I'm Corey. I don't think there's actually any words for this camp experience. Like, if there is, I don't know any. But I know Tuesday night, Bobby, our pastor, talked about how being on the fence. And as soon as I saw the title, I'm like, oh, my goodness, okay. But, that night, I just realized that whole message was basically God speaking to me, like, oh, my goodness, you need to change, like, now. But, so that night, I realized, get your act together, you know. And then the next night, we sang the song, and the worship was just so amazing. And one of the songs, it said, it's your breath in our lungs. And I realized, like, nothing that we think we belong, like, belongs to us, it doesn't belong to us, but we always think it does. But it was just an eye-opener. This week was just so spectacular. Yeah,
done. Okay. One thing that I've been a part of, taking students to camp for many, many years, and many people who've gone to camp, and maybe you've been in church and you hear each year the camp stories. And I don't know what thoughts go through your mind. I don't know how you process that, but I want to encourage you and remind you with this. When students go to camp and they have an opportunity to really not just hear truth, because they hear truth here, and it's not that camp is a super spiritual place that only these amazing things happen there, but it's amazing what happens when you take teenagers' cell phones away. And all the teenagers said, it's more so that you're taking away the distraction, and we all have distractions, don't we? And you have an opportunity to have an encounter with God in a special way. And as a teenager growing up myself, I had some encounters with God that I will never forget. And it's those moments of impact that it doesn't mean that, okay, you better live perfect from now on, because I heard you on the pulpit say that you were going to live for God. We all mess up, and we all need to have that grace and show that same grace and mercy to everybody. But it's those moments where we're impacted by what God did at camp, in moments like that, whether it's at camp or here, and God reveals Himself through His Word and begins to speak directly to our heart. And we know, God's speaking to me. Felt like that whole message was for me. So I just want to encourage you and remind you that many times these students, what they're trying to share is, I had an encounter with God, and I don't know how to put it in words, but God met with me in a special way. And really what our teams were, for the most part, saying is, thank you for letting me go and giving me the opportunity to have a special encounter with God like that. So next is Karina. Come on up, Karina. Karina Chester.
I'm going to start by saying this. Sorry if this sounds out of order. Okay. As you know, we went to camp last week. On Sunday night, there was a message about our fig leaves. Fig leaves are something we hide behind. It's like when Adam and Eve sinned, they realized they were naked, so they hid behind fig leaves. That's something we do as Christians. So that message got me thinking about my life and who I am. Some days, I feel like I'm 3 people. There's a church me, a school me, and a home me. God convicted me to find my true identity. So this is something that Christina is going to help me with. Then on Tuesday night, God really tugged at my heart during worship, so I literally fell to my knees and prayed to him. During the sermon that night, I kind of zoned out, so I made a list of things that I want to accomplish as a follower of God. After the message, I went up to the altar and prayed with Christina. During camp, many people feel obligated to rededicate their lives. Every year that I've gone to camp, I've always felt obligated to do that. But this year was different. This year, I truly meant it. So all in all, I rededicated my life to God.
Last but certainly not least is Lisa. And before she comes, I told her, brief. Anyway, I'm excited because there's been several students who've come through our youth ministry who have graduated and doing various different things, whether going to college, some away, some here, and have come back and have a desire to work and serve in the youth ministry. And this past week, we took two of our students, Lisa and Amaris, with us to camp, and were able to serve as youth leaders, as counselors. And it was an exciting, and really for me to step back as a youth pastor, seeing someone who's come through the youth ministry and be able to watch them say some of the same things that I said to them before. Now they're saying it's amazing. It's really exciting to see that. So, Lisa, will you come and share what God did with you this past week at camp?
Well, first of all, he wants me to cram a lot into a few minutes, so sorry. This is the first year that I really got to go to camp as a leader. And I don't know what I expected, but boy, was it different. Oh my goodness. I was with Amaris, and we got to be blessed by the seventh graders and getting them up every morning and taking them to meals and all that stuff. And it was really cool to be able to pour into them and talk to them every night and to just pray with them and pray for them and see what God is doing in their lives. Because a lot of this stuff, they're experiencing God for the first time. During worship, I was able to see some of these girls lift their hands for the first time and experience the presence of God during worship. And as a former worship leader, it's hard to even explain how worship is. You literally can't even explain it. But when you're in the presence of God and when you're experiencing God, you just have nothing else to do but just worship him. And to see these girls just be able to do that for the first time, it blessed my heart so much. And literally probably an hour before they did that, me and Amaris had prayed that God would just give them a passion and a want to worship God and a want to grow closer to God. And he delivered as always. And these girls came back and they're like, I want to worship again. I want to feel that again. And like, I just broke down crying because God is so faithful to answer his prayers. And that's something I learned a lot this week, is that you pray specific prayers that glorify him and he will deliver. And he'll always deliver in a powerful way. I mean, we prayed for every single person that got saved that God would reveal himself and knock on their door and open their hearts, and they did, and God was faithful the whole time. But I think the biggest thing that really God was like, Lisa, shut up, was that I'm not a very patient person. If you know me at all, you know that I'm very bossy, I guess that's a word. So it's really hard for me not to be in control. And I learned a lot this past year at school that you have to just let God be in control because, you know, in Proverbs it says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. It doesn't say, you know, acknowledge him a little and then I'll, you know, give you like an inch or something. No, he says, acknowledge me and I will direct your path. So with that being said, 2 years ago, I don't know if you guys remember, but I had gone to Global Youth Camp, and I think it was the first year we had gone there, and I just really felt God tugging at my heart and calling me to missions. And I was like, okay, God, even if that means that I'll be wearing long jean skirts and not doing my hair every day, I will do that. I know that's not necessarily what missionaries do. It's just what I had in my head. Don't throw tomatoes at me. Okay, but you know, I've just been trying to be patient and trying to wait and lean on God and see what door he opens. And it took 2 years, but within the span of 10 minutes, God opened a huge door. And I don't know all the details right now, but
next summer I'll be able to go to China for 8 weeks teaching English, which is what I'm going to college for. God is so faithful. Even when we turn our backs to him because we're impatient or ignorant and think we're God, he is still faithful and he is still good. So if you're really struggling with waiting on God for something and waiting for him to fulfill a promise, just wait, because it's not in your timing. It's never in your timing, because we are not God. We are not good enough to have it in our own timing. And God is perfect, and he already planned out our whole lives, and we just need to be patient. So thank you for supporting these kids and supporting us.
All right, that was, thank you everyone for sharing. And guys, why don't you go ahead and come up here and make your way up here this time. And while they're coming, just want to try, it's not easy anytime after camp to kind of share what, you know, God did and summarize it per se. But there's something that God showed me this past week. The year prior we went to camp, I can't honestly say I was asking for God to give me some kind of specific thing, but God showed me something last year and really spoke to me about a specific need that needed to be addressed, and we started working on that. And it was the issue of starting a student leader ministry, where we were going to set up a structure where our students would aspire to step up and do hard work and serve and lead, not just to have a title, but to be able to serve, and primarily some of our older students. And we have, I believe at this moment, eight student leaders, and every single one of them went to camp, and six of them ended up being a family leader, which you heard Savannah speak of at the camp. And I was very proud to see them not only take on that role, it was voluntary, they weren't forced to, and asked them if they wanted to be that, and they all volunteered and said, I wanted to be a part of that. And it was hard. It, like Savannah said, you can't just go to camp and just hang out and absorb. You had to work. You had to pour into somebody else. And in many ways, they were like a counselor on a smaller scale. And so I'm very proud of them. So who's up first? Nathan's going to come up at this moment in time and share what God did in his life this week.
Hello. First of all, I just want to thank everybody who donated to the teens to let us go to camp, and everybody who made cakes and also paid an outrageous amount of money for cakes at the cake auction. This was my third year going to Global, but this was my first year going to the location at Lake Yale. And the speaker here, his name is Bobby, he spoke for about 30 minutes a day, which was a lot different than the last 2 years we went with. The guy spoke for like an hour and 45 minutes, I tell you. So that was different. Throughout the whole thing, we had a theme from Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 11. And I guess the story in those passages that spoke to me the most was the story about Cain and Abel. It wasn't because I've always wanted to kill my brother, but it was in the story about the sacrifices that each Cain and Abel made. And I know that God didn't like Cain's sacrifice because it was fruits and vegetables, and Abel's was a lamb without the shedding of blood. There was no remission of sins, but I lost my train of thought. It was about the heart of Cain and the heart of Abel. While they were each doing a good thing by making a sacrifice, the heart of each of them was wrong. And God started really speaking to me about my heart and why I do things. I mean, I can memorize verses. I can get up in front of people and talk. I can be a family leader at camp. I can minister to people. I can pray. I can go to faith evangelism. But if I'm not doing it with the right heart, and I'm not doing it to truly glorify God because I love Jesus, then I guess I might as well not even be doing it at all. And it's doing myself more harm than good to do something with the wrong heart than to actually do something because I do love Jesus and because I do love people. And God is really starting to work on me about actually letting his love in me reach out to other people and start doing other things with the right heart. And that's all I have to say.
Next up is Josue. And I have a really neat story about Josue. It was Wednesday night before we went to camp, and every spot of camp was filled. And I was giving final instructions of what to do, what to expect, what to bring, what not to bring. And Josue came up to me and said, "Here's my paperwork." And I said, "Josue, you're not on the list." He says, "I'm not?" I was like, "You're not. And I don't have any more spots." And he's like, "Oh." I thought, okay. And I was like, "Well, okay, well, let me call, you know, and then find out." And I called him and found out, you know, last minute, can this guy jump on? And they're like, "Well, we can. We have had every single bed filled up. But if we do that, that means that one of you is going to have to go into a separate room, you know, by themselves." And I thought, I will sacrifice for the sake of the children. So thankfully, while I may have had some selfish motives, God had a much bigger eternal picture in mind, and I'm so glad that Josue got to go. God did some amazing things in his life, and it's exciting to see what will happen with somebody when God gets his way. And Josue is an example of somebody who we've seen right before our very eyes growing leaps and bounds, changing. And the things that he sees, it's clear that it's the Holy Spirit of God working in and through him. So, Josue, will you come share what God did in your life at camp?
Good evening. My name is Josue. A lot of you might not know me. I'm fairly new to Faith Baptist. And I joined in the beginning of this year. And my time here has been amazing and life-changing. And before I begin, I just want to thank everyone who donated and helped us raise money for camp. You guys are wonderful. Okay, so my time at camp was a breathtaking experience. It was the best week of my life. In the beginning, I didn't know what was to come because it was my first time going to any church camp. During this time, God opened my heart and eyes and made me realize that He is the Almighty God and that without Him we are nothing, but with Him we are everything. God loves His people so much, and no matter what your past may look like, He forgives and forgives, but we must not take advantage of that. We must turn away from our selfish selves and give it all up for Him. Throughout the camp, I also learned that everything we do for Christ must be bold. We should sing boldly, pray boldly, and praise His word with boldness. God is calling me to become a leader to everyone around me and to shine His light everywhere I walk. I am willing to obey God with what He has called me to do. And the question I continue to ask God is, God, what do you want me to do next? Thank you.
Josue, I don't know the exact month or whatever, Josue, when he first started coming, came through Julius, which he might share a little bit about that, and through his baseball and whatnot, and he got saved very, very soon in to come into the youth ministry, and like I said, to see him come to camp and what God did in his life there was so unique. Last that's going to share tonight is Julius, and looking forward to hear what he has to say about what God did in his life at camp.
Hello. Let me get my iPad out. It's a little slow. It's great, isn't it? It's just awesome to hear these guys and girls just share their hearts with us. And I'm just truly blessed that PC and Pastor Todd allow me the opportunity to share with these young men and women to be in Christ. And it's just awesome. So I'll try to share with you guys a little bit of what my experience was like in camp this past week. And there's lots of things that I can also say about those pictures and about these guys here and a lot of stories. But God moved in a tremendous way in camp. And not just in their hearts and in their lives, but He moved in our hearts, in the leaders' hearts and in our lives, and showed me tremendous things. You've heard some of the testimonies. You heard Pastor Chad talk about the three salvations, and maybe he'll elaborate a little bit more on it. But what a great feeling it is to be in a position to coach or help or walk somebody through that step, through that phase in their lives. I know Brother Rob shared in that one. One of the things that in camp the preacher does is at the end of service, before the invitation, he calls all the youth pastors and leaders to come to the front to receive our teens as they're making decisions. And I must tell you, I know this young man. I've been in youth group with this young man for over a year and a half now. And I can seriously tell you that I haven't heard this young man say two words in a year and a half. Okay? And, you know, I'm talking about Troy Lilly. And I asked him permission. I told him I'm going to share about you, Troy, because he's just such an inspiration and just such a feeling that I have to share with you guys. When you see this young man that's been reserved, quiet, almost standoffish or off to the side by himself a lot, he walks up to the front, he puts his hands on your shoulder and says, I want to be saved. I don't know what I did next. I know I was laughing and crying, and I hugged him, and we said a prayer, and I was just, I mean, my smile was huge, but that's what it's about. That's what it is about, to making sure that our youth, our teens, get to hear the word, get to have an encounter with God, and get to make a change and a turn in their lives. And now we know that Troy's going to be in heaven with us. He's part of our family. Okay? And that's just what it is. We have multiple young people make decisions in their lives. Josue Araza just talked about his. Here's another one that just blew me away. Just blew me away. So we're doing sharing time after everything is done. And this is probably 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. No, I'm just kidding. It's about 10 p.m. We do our church time. And there's people that we've been praying for, and I know PC's been praying for, and the leaders, and just kind of asking God, just rise leaders among us, rise people that would take the lead. And a lot of you guys will know who I'm talking about right away. This young man started speaking up through one of our sharing sessions, and I kid you not, his voice thundered with authority, with the power of the Spirit, and with his resolve that I am going to step out and do more. And I am going to be a leader because God calls me to do this. And I'm not going to sit in the sideline anymore. I'm talking about Aaron Jennings. Okay, this guy, I was like, he talks. He does. But it's just amazing what God did in camp. So, I'm so encouraged by you guys, encouraged by our church, by our leadership. I want to personally thank you because, like I said before, I've been in youth group for over a year. But for the past few months, I've had a chance to help PC closely with different things, whether it's helping set up for games, whether it's small groups or prayers. And I feel that I understand a little bit better. Everything, all the hard work and dedication that a youth pastor has to pour in to make the youth ministry work. And I'm not saying this to give him a big head. God knows he's already got a big one. But I'm saying this to thank you. I want to thank you, church. I want to thank you. I want to thank Pastor Todd personally and Pastor Mike and the leadership in this church for recognizing that these guys and girls right here are important, for recognizing that that's our future, that's our future leaders, pastors, deacons coming out of our youth group, and for putting this man in front to lead us and to guide us. I'm just so thankful for the financial support. Yes. And it was just awesome to see how his devotion and the leadership and the prayer and the support that you guys gave, how it takes root in a young man's heart, in a young woman's heart, and it changes them. And it's awesome to see that just happen before your eyes. And so, thank you.
Thank you. I want to say a few more things, and then I'm going to shortly turn over to Pastor to wrap up. First of all, not everyone could share tonight for our time, and I know there are several students who God did an amazing thing in their life. Some would rather die than to stand up here before you, but knowing what God did in their life, rest assured that God is continuing to do work. And now is where the real battle starts. Camp is an amazing experience, and I would still to this day tell you that it is by far the most important thing we do as a youth ministry as far as an event goes, and it is absolutely essential, I believe, to youth ministry. However, camp is a moment in time and is an experience that we have, and now is where the real battle begins. Now is where Satan begins to do his work, and so we need prayer. These students need prayer, specific prayer. So if you know names of students, I ask that you lift them up in prayer. There's a third individual who accepted Christ. Her name is Hannah Wilson. And she, I don't know if she's able to be here tonight. I don't see her. But she started coming very recently to the youth group, maybe within a few months ago-ish, something along those lines. And she had thought she made it, got saved at some point while she was here. But when she was at camp, came forward and met with my wife and got that settled, so that was exciting to see. So be praying for those three that we know accepted Christ. Be praying for those who have struggled, and this is a thing that many teens deal with when they go to camp numerous years in a row, and they see and experience things, and they're like, well, it's the same thing, and what's the point, and you know, is it going to stick this time? And one thing I try to encourage our students, and really anybody, who has experiences where they get the frustration of, will I ever succeed, because I feel like I just keep falling back down, and what's the point, why keep trying? Every opportunity that you have to come back, not opportunity, but every chance you take to come back to Christ and you walk back to Him, you draw nigh to God, God's going to continue to do a work in your lives. And don't try to strive for perfection and think that I'm just going to go as long as I can and just keep on fire for God. You need to desire that, but at the same time, students, remember that you're going to fall. Get back up, okay? Get back up. We as a church as a whole have been experiencing that for many of us for many years, and it is a process called sanctification. Don't quit on what God wants to do in your life. Don't give up on the change that He wants to make. It's going to take time, and you must keep pursuing Him. I want to address the church as a whole. It's been mentioned, and I just can't say it enough. This past year, with the cake auction we had being the premier event, that is so huge to helping our students be able to go to camp. We were able to take $85 for every single student that went to camp and put that towards their account. $85. And in one night, within an hour, we raised that amount of money, with several of you in here feeding your faces with sugar and writing checks and giving cash, and many of you saying, hey, I couldn't get a cake, but here's a donation. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You made an investment into eternity. It wasn't just a week of memories. It was a moment in time where God did a great work in life. So thank you, thank you, thank you for that and the opportunity that I get to go and be a part of that. I want to also tell you as students and as a church that next Sunday night we have Baptism Sunday. And we're going to have other things going on that night, but this is an opportunity for us to take the next step. We had three students we know that accepted Christ, but there's also some other students who have not been baptized yet and need to be. And parents, I'm talking to you more so. I want you to encourage, not force, obviously, but I want you to encourage your students. Or if you know someone who's not here tonight who they need to be baptized. One thing we were talking about at camp is, what is next? Now what? What's the next step? And for many of them, baptism is the next step that is needed to be obedient to Jesus Christ, to follow in what He's commanded us to do. So please be aware that next Sunday night, if there's someone who wants to be baptized, either see myself or Pastor Micah, call, come see us, whatever it is, we need to get that taken care of. It's going to be an awesome night to see a celebration of identification into the body of Christ. So be here for that and make sure you come. And the last thing I want to share, that I, as a youth pastor, what God dealt with me and what I saw this past week, and I'm going to turn it over to Pastor, is we live in a world and a culture where our students especially are very confused about what is true. And I saw this past week what blows my mind, that the world has corrupted many of our students' minds, and their thinking is so wrong. And they're not wicked. They're not terrible. They're people who need the Word of God to transform and change their heart and their mind. And here's what God showed me this past week. If there's one thing that I have a responsibility to do as a pastor in guiding and leading them is I don't know how exactly it's going to work out, if it's going to be a series that we do, but we are going to address our identity in Christ, who we are. And if you don't know who you are in Christ, you will be confused and you will struggle and you will make poor decision after poor decision in your life, and it's going to build up. And so my commitment, I told them as a pastor to them, is to lead us in this direction, that we need to deal with our identity in Christ, who we are, where we stand, and what truth is, and how truth, known truth, can set us free. So be praying for us as a youth ministry in that stead. And I asked Pastor if he'd come at the very end to give students and leaders a challenge about something that we need to hear. But one last thing before I do. If you were a leader this year and you came to camp, will you please stand up so everyone can see who you are? Please, Josh, please, if you'd stand. Thank you. Not all my leaders were able to go this week to camp, and I know many of them want to, but camp. But I want you to understand that many of these, if not all of them, took a week off of work, used maybe personal vacation time, or whatever it was they gave up to spend time with our students. And so I thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. I could not. There is no way I could go to camp and do what was accomplished without you guys' help. And I'm so thankful for all of our leaders who are here, weren't able to be there, give such a amount of your time and your desire to see their lives change as well. So thank you, leaders. Pastor Todd, if you'd come, please.
Being willing to take that room as well. We appreciate your willingness on that. You're such a giving guy. We appreciate that. Yeah, exactly. Let me just close out tonight by just talking to our young people for just a minute. When you look in the Bible, guys, I want to tell you something. You are going to find that there is a common thread that runs through the Scriptures, and that is that God consistently and continually used young people to turn a nation, to turn a people, to turn the world upside down. The Bible's full of young people, full. And I don't want to offend anybody, all right? But you know, one of the dangers is the older you get, you tend to lose your fire for Jesus. And I would ask tonight that you guys would just be like a live coal and that you would ignite those around you. You're still in summer. You know, you're going to have to go back to school. And yay, right? I know. Pastor Chad said it. I want you to take this camp experience, and I want it to be more than just an experience. I want it to become a part of your life. And I want you to let the words of Paul to Timothy echo in your hearts and resonate in your thinking, okay? And when he said, let no man despise your youth, what he was saying is, Timothy, you're young, but you can set the standard, okay? Guys, you're young, but I want to tell you, you can set the standard, right? God knows that you can. He's equipped you. We believe in you. We support you. As your pastor, I love you and I support you. And church, don't we stand behind them in this endeavor? Amen. Let's all stand together.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.